welcome to another episode of the Urban Vibe Podcast. This is Steven talking.
This is Joanna.
And Vic.
In today's episode, we're going to be talking about accomplishments we've done, whether that be in class or outside of class.
Yeah. Man, I feel like this school year has been really good for me, so I've accomplished, I don't know, maybe not a lot, but things that, like, I'm super proud of. So, I would say, for me, starting with stuff with the Urban Vibe, I've been able to produce a lot of stories that I guess for me, I thought would be a lot harder to do. I wasn't sure when I started this course if I'd be able to keep up with all of it and just get out stories each week. And I think through this course, I've been able to learn that I can do that and I can produce stories very quickly and efficiently. So that's something I've been really proud of through the course that I've taken with the Urban Vibe.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say the same. The school year was really good. It was a breeze. It went by quick though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like when I don't focus on the days or count on the times, it just shows how productive I am. Or, like, I like how whenever I come home either tired or just sore from something, it just shows how productive I really was instead of me just laying around procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the feeling of, like, just being productive. That to me, has been probably one of the better things. The amount of stuff I've gotten done this semester is probably twice the amount I did last semester. And for me, that's, like, I don't know if you'd be able to track it so far with progress. Like, I don't know if I'd be better on a statistical level. But I think that there has to be something I've gotten better at over the last couple weeks. So that I'm pretty proud of.
I'm just curious, out of all the stories that we all have produced or that you've produced and written, which story are you most proud of or just most excited about? Or it could be one that you're working on right now.
I could start that off. I think my first one, the mental health one. Yeah, the mental health one. Because at that time, I wasn't really going through something, but, like, I was just transitioning over to something that I normally was like a pattern, everything like that. So, like, me doing the mental health was beneficial for other people, but also for me as well, because as the things that I was writing in there, it was raw and authentic, and I was just glad that I was able to put it out there to let everybody know that, you know, one, you're not alone, and two, you can ask for help, and asking for help is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. So I say the mental health one. What about you?
For mine, I would have to put it, like, I would have two. For things that I think are important and impactful, I did, like, a photo essay of student protesters, or at least kid protesters. I don't know what they were affiliated with at the Capitol when the civil rights bill was altered and gender identity was taken off of. That one, I think, was very important, and I actually can share that and have been sharing that with, like, the LGBTQ community in Des Moines. So that's gotten outside of DMAC, which I'm very excited about. My other one, which was, like, more of a passion project, was just talking about how no one knows that Coco Chanel was, like, buddy-buddied with Nazis. I don't know if you guys saw that. That was really fun. A lot of, like, luxury brands have ties back to Hitler. And people, like, just pretend that it's not a thing. And I don't like to make people feel bad. And if you buy designer, you do. But I don't think people know that. She was, like, it's, like, one of my passions is how much I hate Coco Chanel, though. But she was, like, buddied up at the Ritz Hotel in France with, like, not just Nazis, but, like, commanders. And somehow she got out of that and was buddy-buddies with Winston Churchill's wife. So I think that there was consequences that, like, literally us three have from that situation, just from snowball effects. And I don't know. That was really interesting. I was glad to publish something about it. I could talk for hours about how much I ate Coco Chanel.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'll have to take a look at that. I didn't know about that. I would say for me, I did a piece also on mental health, and that one I would say is the one that I'm probably most proud of. I feel like I'm proud of it because I was able to shed light on an important issue that's facing many college students and young individuals, but I was also able to then share resources at DMACC that DMACC offers to students who are going through that. So, I would definitely have to say that that's that piece I am most proud of. And then there's a couple others that have come after that I've been really proud of and have enjoyed working on. So,
what do you guys think you have improved on the most? Is there any specific thing that, I don't know how long a semester is, but the beginning of the semester you'd be like, I don't know how to do this. But now you're like, I could at least attempt to. Mm-hmm. If not feel totally comfortable with doing it.
I think for me, this isn't urban vibe related, but I would definitely have to say my public speaking skills. I'm in a club where that really requires a lot of public speaking. And so that is an area where I have noticed this semester I've really improved on and just become so confident in. So that's, just one area that I'm very proud of and I feel like I can do really well now. Or at least better.
I'd say for me, probably my writing skills. With the comments that Professor Langegger is always leaving over on my my opinion pieces, my new pieces, or just any of my articles, I'm able to, you know, utilize it and use it for my next article. That way I could avoid making the same mistake and that I'm more keen on what to use and what not to use, and the right pronunciation, right grammar, of course, and, you know, overall make the flow, the scheme more tranquil.
I think I've gotten better at using, like, technology, which may be, like, a funny thing to say, but, like, I have never used Teams before this class. I've never used, I think it's, like, Kaltura Gallery or something on Canva.
Yeah.
And this is my only like second or third semester, if you count summer. So just being able to use the tools has been like very fulfilling, being able to figure out exactly like what buttons to push and when. Because when the last time I was in school, we used Google Docs and then I think PowerPoint slides. And you would have thought 10 years ago was like the Stone Age compared to now. So that's been a kind of a learning curve, but I think I've been getting better at it. And that's kind of fun. Also, just seeing, like, how things have changed. Like, I used Photoshop 10 years ago. And now, 10 years later, looking back, I'm like, that was a completely different program. Even though it's built from the same people. It's really interesting. Technology is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so valuable that we get to learn these things because after going through a lot of interviews and things like that, I guess, like, some people wouldn't believe just how valuable that is to be able to put that down on your resume. Like, I have used these different programs, and I'm very proficient in them. That's actually really important. So I definitely agree with that as well, Vic.
Yeah, another thing I say that I use at a strong point was being able to speak to new people. Like how when we would go outside of class to go speak to people about opinion pieces or news stories, I mean, I don't know them. So, like, of course, that comes with nervousness and anxiousness and anxiety. But, you know, the more you do it, the more comfortable you get, the more you step out of your comfort zone, the more it becomes, like, second nature. And it's, like, it gets to the point where I could, not just in school, but outside of school, like I said, utilize the things that she would, you know, the comments that she'll leave on my posts and everything. I can verbalize it by words.
Mm-hmm. Online, about 10 years ago, there was this guy, and maybe it was a little less, that wrote a book called The Worst Thing They Could Say Is No, or something along those lines. If it wasn't the title of the book, it was like the premise, and he was telling people to go around. And, you know, it may not even have been a book. It may have just been, like, a pickup artist's YouTube video that went viral. But I think it had to do with, like, sales tactics. And he's like, the worst thing these people can do is tell you no or not respond at all. So, using context, don't say that to somebody who's obviously, like, threatening. Like, don't put yourself in a bad situation. But that really helped me this year when I was going around and interviewing people or trying to find things to photograph, especially for the magazine that is addition to this class that was like all over Des Moines. And that's what I just kept telling myself was the worst thing they'll do to me is say no. Which sometimes in journalism that doesn't work and you have to be careful because, you know, journalism's not in a great place right now when it comes to like people respecting the craft or the people behind the craft. But I think that's something that is useful for almost everyone in all pathways is you'll never know until you find out. His video is weird, though. He kept saying, like, to go to restaurants and ask for discounts. Like, ask the waitress for discounts. And by the end of you asking a waitress for, like, a discount that you don't deserve, there's no reason why she would give it to you. You were supposed to be, like, more confident and, like, embodied and questioning. I wouldn't do that. Don't harass service workers for percentages off, but in other situations employ that.
So is it more like a social experiment?
I don't know if it started as a social experiment or if this guy was trying to teach people how to sell. I've seen people react to it more than I've seen people like the actual original version of this. And he could have stole it from some other, you know, like, yeah, salesman from, like, yeah, the 80s or 70s. I don't know. It could have came from Dave Ramsey. I don't know. But it has been useful. Sometimes YouTube is helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What would y'all say outside of class or outside of school your greatest accomplishments were? Or to the point where you can look back and, you know, give yourself a pat on the back?
For me, it would definitely be how much I have done this semester. This was my fullest semester. I was taking 21 credits. And I didn't know what that would look like because I'm also working and I'm involved in like 3 different clubs. But being able to go through the semester, still have my grades at a very good, like all A's in each class, be able to get through work and everything like that successfully. I would say that's the biggest accomplishment for me this semester is just being able to see how I am so much stronger than I imagined and am able to take on a lot of things but also do it well. It's also served as a learning lesson too because you don't want to go through a semester like this and be like, oh, I can do it all, because there does come a point where you have to like draw the line and say, no, I can't take on anymore and I can't do any more than this. But I would say like this semester has grown me a lot because it has shown me what I am capable of and how much I can do with so much joy and happiness.
Indeed, because 21 credits plus work, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. That's what's up.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Mine's very similar, I guess. I went from being like a not so great member of society to flipping that into being productive, which is pretty substantial for all the things that like statistically would have made people be like, no, never gonna happen. Like, I have a 4.0. I go to my classes. I've never been in trouble here at the school. Compared to when I was in high school, I probably was close to going to truancy court and had like a C, low B average. So I think for me, I'm just proud that I'm doing it. Like, I don't want to say it's the right way because like B's and C's get degrees, but for me, it's the right way, I think, to set myself up for something better later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd say for me, outside of class, I've been doing a lot of reading. And one book I've been reading that I'm about to be done with is called Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of what he says in there is very, very good, especially for you know, youth like myself or like us here. He's just telling us like integrate good habits, breaking down good habits and bad habits, and whatever route you choose, it determines your outcome. And so, of course, I choose the good habits because there's things I want to become and want to do as a person. And, you know, having a bad habit, it will get me there, but it will take me a lot longer. And so, you know, using that to life or, you know, life outside of class or school, I'm able to, you know, be more confident, be more bold, and more able to stay busy. Even in the days where I'm not busy, I'm able to, like, you know, stay busy by, you know, doing like jumping jacks or something to like keep my body motivated, because I fear that if I know we have to have rest and everything, but I fear that the day where I get too comfortable, I'm not gonna want to go back. So
that's really good. I've heard good things about that book. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely have to check it out.
Yeah, it was a gift for me for my birthday, and I really do appreciate the person that gave it to me, because like I said, I like reading, and you know, what better way to expand your mindset by reading?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have had success with Atomic Habits. I think it's because he wrote it in a way that everyone can understand, because a lot of those, like, I don't want to call them manifestation books, I guess they're self-help books, are written either in a entirely spiritual way where, you know, it's dependent on your religion, because they make them for every single religion, basically. Or they are written in such a way where the person feels bad about themselves while reading, almost. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, when they're reading, it's more like the book is judging them.
Like, convicting them.
Yeah, yeah. But Atomic Habits was more like, at baseline, you choose. It's your decision. I don't think he ever wrote in the book. I've also read, like, probably about half of it. I don't think he said something along the lines of, if you're not ready for this, put it down. But I think that that's what the message was. Like, if you're not ready for this, put it down. And when you are ready, then just, you have it.
You know where to find me.
And if you have premium on Spotify, you can read that for free.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any other books that y'all have read that y'all...
Oh, I got a book rec. Came out this week. John Green's is Everything is Tuberculosis. It is an outwardly look at the history of TB and basically how white supremacy is like killing people right now of TB. This is a disease that could have been cured or at least managed in the 50s and 60s, but because of the way the world looks, not only at disease, but at underdeveloped countries, quotations, it hasn't been solved. So it's just very interesting, and it looks at the problem from a lot of different angles. And I think there's a lot to learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say for me, this semester I have not read as much as I would have liked.
Don't feel bad.
When it comes to like books, but yeah, there's always like, I'm such a learner and a researcher, so whether that's reading like different scholarly articles on topics that I'm interested in or stuff like that, I've done a lot of that throughout the semester and have found that each of those like pretty interesting. Right now, because of a class project I'm working on, I've been reading a lot about like AI and how it's used in the workplace, or potentially could be used in the workplace, and things like that. So I don't know, it's always fun to read stuff like that, or I find it enjoyable at least. But yeah, maybe that's not super enjoyable to some people, but I think it's always good to be aware of what's happening and what's being introduced into our world, whether we like it or not. I think it's very wise to learn about it so that we're just more aware and have a better idea of how it works.
I also am a big proponent of like whatever you put in your head, like it like becomes a part of you. So if you're constantly watching like only TV, and I'm not saying TV is bad, but if you're only watching reality TV shows 100% of the time, that's going to negatively impact you eventually. I'm a huge, huge supporter of just reading, and I don't think it matters anymore if you read a like text from a book versus an audiobook versus somebody just a YouTube video, depending on the YouTube video. Because some are educational, some are not, kind of like TED Talks and so on. If you stop putting good isn't the right word, but if you stop putting the information in your head that will move you forward, you will eventually become stagnant. Like, you have to be able to keep going and educate yourself, even if it's something that you wouldn't normally be into. Kind of like having the ability to force yourself to learn something is a skill. And keeping your attention on something you necessarily may not like is a skill. And as an adult, you should have that skill. And I think it's something you got to practice. Or like you said, you get too comfortable.
Yeah.
And then you just stop. And there is no growth. And what's the point of living if there's no growth?
Yeah, like you said, you got to be careful what you put in your head because it's going to be a part of you. Like, for example, you can see the younger generation with TikTok, all these brain rots and stuff like that. You know, like I tell my sisters and my her friends, like, you got to be careful because with technology, how you know, fascinating it is, how on how it's developing, you have to also be careful and be aware of what you put in your head because, you know, they're smart because the things that they say, the colors they use, they do it in a way so it can stick to people. And like, it's like part of their DNA.
Yeah, algorithms are manipulative, and children and young adults don't know about that because they just haven't learned that yet. And I think it's one of the few times like where I'm like, well, old people may have been saying something right. You know, you kind of grow up and you're like, oh no, like, guess I could have got to give the point to like dad or grandpa on that one. But social media and just technology can be super dangerous. If you're always listening to sad and angry things, you will eventually become sad and angry. If you're always listening to extremely happy things or things that definitely aren't reality, like the whole Mr. Beast kind of viralness where he's like always giving out money and stuff, that's not reality. That's like not a regular person's like everyday life. And I think that eventually being too happy, too positive, too unrealistic can also be damaging, and children don't know the difference. As well as if you know you can also set yourself down some pretty bad pathways if you get involved with the wrong crowd, even online. Like, I not to be like anti-Andrew Tate, but there's some people that get into that sphere, you know, that end up kind of hateful and kind of ruining their relationships with people close to them because of the things that they're hearing. And it all comes from like a self-help point of view, usually. Like, instead of Atomic Habits, if you would have picked up a different book, maybe you wouldn't be productive. Maybe you would have put your energy into being angry instead, you know. So I think you just have to be very careful about the information.
So to kind of finish off and go back to our topic on like what we've accomplished this semester, what have you done outside of the Urban Vibe outside of this class that you've accomplished, or what is it that you've accomplished outside of it that you're proud of?
One thing for me is if I'm not working at home or at the church, I'm working at home. And what I say, but what I mean by that is like, you know, there's goals that I want to achieve by, you know, before I die. And, you know, not trying to make it sound rated or anything, but that's just the reality. And I could say that from not even this semester, but from last semester, I was able to not just say it, but do it, because actions are louder than words. And so although I'm fulfilled one part of it, there's one quote that always goes in my head by, you know, the late Kobe Bryant, how he says, job's not finished. You know what I'm saying? The job's never finished until, you know, you leave a legacy. And so although I do feel accomplished, or although I do accomplish an accomplishment, the job's not finished.
For me, I would say something that I've outside of this class that I've been proud to accomplish is through another club that I'm in, Future Business Leaders of America. I was elected to state office through that organization, and that's something that I've been super proud of this semester, along with, again, like everything else that I've been able to juggle. That alone was like a big accomplishment, I would say, just coming out of the semester successfully. But yeah, that's just another thing that was fun for me.
For mine, I would have to say being more engaged with my communities has been a feat. It has been hard to do because I used to be, and then I had children, and I stepped away from basically everyone and everything that I was doing beforehand. So to reconnect to Des Moines, to a school system, to other people has been very nice. New people, not the same four people that I've been seeing for the last decade. But other than that, just my children, they have a lot of special needs. And I haven't like failed to get them somewhere or get them something they need this year, which is, to me, has been very, very good. It takes a lot of work to be an involved parent who's also going to work, who's also this involved in school. So I've been dancing that thin line pretty well, at least up to this point. I've only missed like one doctor's appointment. And they've been taken care of pretty well. And they can talk now. They were not talking last year. So that's a great thing to see.
Wow, it sounds like you had a very successful, like, school year or semester.
Yeah, I've been trying.
Which is great, yeah.
That's what's up.
You really, honestly, you're juggling. I'm by far more than I am with being a mom and a full-time student and working, and that's just really cool to see, like, just how successful you've been at that.
Yeah, just putting this, like, life in reality all in one person.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been trying. It's been something.
No, I think you're doing great.
We're all doing good.
Mm-hmm.
We're all doing good.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode of The Urban Vibe. We hope that you guys join us soon.
Peace.